Well, hello and welcome to this week's A Photographic Life. Crimson flames tied through my ears, rolling high and mighty traps, pounced with fire on flaming roads, using ideas as my maps. We'll meet on edges soon, said I, proud, neath heated brow. Ah, but I was so much older then, I'm younger than that now. Half-racked prejudice leaped forth, ripped down all hate, I screamed. Lies that life is black and white spoke from my skull, I dreamed. Romantic facts of musketeers, foundation deep somehow. Ah, but I was so much older then, I'm younger than that now. Bob Dylan there and my back pages, and I'm thinking a lot at the moment about looking backwards and looking forwards. This morning, the book that I've been talking about on previous episodes finally arrived at my door as a physical artifact, a thing you can hold in your hand. My editor immediately said to me, Grant, do you want to talk about the book? Shall we have a meeting? Shall we discuss it? I instantly thought, no, I have no interest in the book. It's done. It's finished. I've not looked at or read any of the books that I've read, previously. I'd only see mistakes, and I'm afraid of seeing those mistakes. I'd only see things that I think I could have done better, and I don't want to see those things. It's a little bit with same as with my photography. I like looking at my work initially. I like the editing process, the choosing process. I like looking at that work and thinking, yeah, I did it. It was okay. But once it's done, it's done. I send it off to the client or I put it wherever it needs to be used and then I move on. I guess in that sense, I'm somebody who really isn't interested in the past. And yeah, of course, that's a dichotomy because I'm very interested in the past. Well, at least I'm interested in the past when it concerns other people and other people's work. That process of looking at our work is so difficult to do without anxiety creeping in. I suppose in a way I'm walking away from that by not dealing with it. But for me that works. I'll let other people be the judge of my work. I know if I've done well or if I haven't done well, and that's okay. I don't have a fear of failure. I'm much more interested in the book that I'm writing at the moment that's due to be finished at the end of the summer, thinking about where that could go, rather than the one that's due to launch, or was launched, I should say, last week. It's always difficult, that, when you're recording a little bit in advance of life itself. Perhaps that also brings about an issue around the future and the past. I always record this podcast a good few days before you get to hear it. That always puts me in a slightly difficult position because times change and things happen. Sometimes I try and respond to them, other times I just ignore them. I wonder what you do when it comes to your work. Can you look at it when you've made it? This week, we welcome to the podcast to explain to us in under 5 minutes what photography means to her, London-based Chantelle King, whose work focuses on beauty and portraiture. She completed her art foundation at Middlesex University and then completed a degree in graphic design at the Buckinghamshire New University. King worked as a photo assistant before progressing to producer and studio manager. She describes her photographic style as being cinematic, dreamy and intimate. She has been commissioned by brands including Revolution, Rehab, Fable and Main, and by magazines such as Stylist, Gratia, Departures, Hunger, Tush and Shone, as well as The Guardian on Saturday and The Sunday Times magazine. Let's hear from Chantelle, shall we?
Hi, I'm Chantelle King. I'm a photographer and I specialise in beauty and portraiture. I kind of strangely fell into photography. It wasn't like a passion project from a young child. No one gave me a camera at five and was like, here's this camera, take a picture. If anything, it was the opposite. It was more my mum taking so many portraits of myself and my sisters every Sunday, every time we had an outing or something, and then we painfully would pose for her. So I actually was always quite annoyed with the prospect of the photography, with my mum's continuous photo taking of us as a child. But actually how I kind of fell into photography is that I studied graphic design at university, and towards the end of my degree, I kind of a lot of my projects was focused around fables and fairy tales. I don't know, I was just really fascinated by the storytelling of it all and the animation. And this was around probably 2008 or so. And during this time, Tim Walker used to photograph a lot for, well, he still does, of course, but he photographed a lot for Vogue magazines. And I was just in awe by his photography. I don't know, I just was captivated by how he recreated a lot of fairy tales and fables in his own interpretive way, and with the enlarging of the props and the elaborate sets. It was just, I just didn't really think that photography could be done in that way. For me, it was just like, you know, someone in front of camera stills and that's it. But I didn't really know that that could be done, and it just kind of fascinated me a lot. So then I did more research, and I used to research a lot more photographers to see like how they captured things, and it really fascinated me. So unfortunately I didn't get a chance to assist Tim Walker in my assisting career, but however I did assist some amazing people, and it kind of just gave me a beautiful eye-opening to what this world's all about. And one of the things, one of my takeaways from everything, and what I try to recreate in my own work, is the art of storytelling. It's sort of reliving an experience, or reliving something, making a still into emotion, making it more than just a still, and how to capture the audience, how to engage the audience. So I love like playing with different lighting styles. I love playing with like working with a great makeup artist and really going for it, like not being scared to push yourself. And that's something that taught me. And so for me, like what photography means to me is the fact that you can say 1,000 words in one picture. And I think that's quite a powerful tool to be able to do. And mixing in with the craftsmanship of how to light, where to place the light, how to manipulate the light, with all of that built in, it just makes it really like wonderful to me. I absolutely love what I do, and I don't want to stop, and I want to continue to push myself. So yeah, what photography means to me is the art of storytelling.
Thank you, Chantel, for your contribution this week. It's so good to hear somebody like Chantel working within the beauty and portrait area talking about storytelling. So often when I mention storytelling, visual storytelling is how I usually describe it, photographers instantly think that I'm talking about documentary photography, in its truest sense, I suppose, as what most people would perceive as being documentary photography. But then, of course, I raise the point that all photography is storytelling. It doesn't matter if you're photographing 6 chocolate cakes or covering a conflict of some kind or a socialist issue. All of that is storytelling. So great to hear Chantel kind of putting that's what photography means to her. Really appreciate that. Kind of reconfirms the things I'm constantly saying. And I have to say, I'm quite often met with a sense of incredulity that I use that phrase storytelling quite so often. Also good to hear Tim Walker being mentioned there. Photographer I know very well. Well, what's interesting to me there is obviously when Chantel was studying, Tim was a major influence on a lot of photographers and students. And I can remember looking at many young photographers' portfolios talking about Tim's work. Then there was an exhibition at the V&A of his work, and every student in the UK seemed to go and visit it. I suppose in a way, his work is very easy to be seduced by. It is that sense of narrative, and it is that sense of storytelling. And it's also that sense of kind of the magic of what photography can do, that it can create something which isn't truly believable. Anyway, if you're not aware of Chantelle's work, as always, check her out. If you're not aware of Tim Walker's work, check him out as well. We always like to give you a few names and a little bit of homework each week. Whilst we're talking about the unbelievable and the fantastical and the magical, two letters come to mind, AI. Now, we spoke a lot about AI at the end of last year on this podcast, and in fact, we even did a special conversation, myself and Nick Dunmar from the Association of Photographers, talking about AI and how we felt that it wasn't something to be quite so concerned about as a lot of photographers were at the time, for sure, and perhaps still are. Interestingly, one of the things I spoke about with AI, which I thought would be an issue, was the fact that if you were a brand, if you were selling a product, that it was very important that you showed your potential customer exactly what that product looked like. There are certain legal requirements around that, certainly in the UK, but also you don't want dissatisfaction amongst your client base when they receive something that looks completely different from the photograph. Anybody who's bought a burger in a burger restaurant, I'm not going to name which, and you look up at the top and you see what you're going to buy, and then you suddenly get something that looks nothing like it, will know exactly what I mean about that client experience. So my feeling very much was that photographers who were creating work for brands, photographing objects that were about to be sold, invariably in kind of lifestyle situations, maybe it's a piece of furniture, or it might be some carpet or some paint or some wallpaper, or perhaps mainly around that kind of interiors world, but also clothing, because you don't want to buy a piece of clothing that looks nothing like it does in the photograph, or you're going to send it back. Anyway, so that was my kind of feeling around that. Well, just in the last week, my wife, who I've mentioned before, is the editor of an interiors magazine, showed me some photographs that she'd been sent. These were created by a rug company in collaboration with the fashion designer Paul Smith. Well, the pictures were AI. I'm not guessing at this. They screamed AI. There was no sense of reality to them at all. And even worse than that, they were bad AI. They looked as if they'd been comped from a whole series of photographs that had no relation to each other at all. There'd been no consideration for shadow, for light, for anything. It looked like a whole load of bad collage. They were also hyper-coloured, and the rugs featured in the photographs look like kind of spinning multicoloured plates. Super smooth, no texture. She instantly said, well, look at these. I can't use these. These aren't the kinds of images that I want to put in the magazine, but also that my readers want to see. My readers want to see the texture. They want to see exactly what it is that I am recommending that they look at or that they buy. So it's a complete failure as far as that is concerned. So perhaps I was right in that conversation at Christmas. It just seems that some of the brands weren't listening to that particular episode. Chantelle was talking to us earlier about her time in education. And this is the time when perhaps more photographic exhibitions come available for you to visit than any other time of the year. Of course, what I'm talking about is degree shows, the end of the three-year period of study, and students putting up their work to be marked and also to be seen. There's no shortage of photographic courses in the UK, and I'm sure it's the same wherever you're listening to this particular podcast. Colleges, universities, art schools all tend to have some kind of photographic course, some form of photographic learning. And therefore, the degree show is available to all. I think they're quite often poorly marketed. You don't necessarily know that they're on at all. And yet, they invariably are on over the weekends, during the week, and they're available to be seen all day. One would hope. Of course, they're also free to see. There's a couple of reasons, I think, for attending degree shows, even if you're not connected with any of the photographers who are showing their work there. The first one could be inspiration. You might be inspired by some of the work that you see. The second one is actually keeping abreast of the kind of work that's being created. Perhaps the kind of work that ordinarily you wouldn't seek out and find. Not the kind of work your Instagram algorithm is showing you all of the time. Maybe it will open your eyes to new ways of seeing, new ways of doing things. The third is to identify great young new photographers. If you're in a position to commission, you should be doing that all of the time. It should be part of your job. And yet, it's so sad how few people who do commission attend photographic degree shows. When I was at St. Martin's, the whole industry would come to St. Martin's, and similarly with the Royal College. However, there are good shows and good work being created all over the country. It always makes me very sad, even though I'm a Londoner, now that I'm based way outside London, how London-centric most magazines and people are when they're looking for graduate work. They're also very much tied to a few of the big names, a few of the colleges and universities that might have really great pasts, but maybe not such great presents. And therefore, what I recommend is looking at everything, or as much as you can. And what I also recommend is to those courses, make sure that people know that the show is on. The final reason, I suppose, for attending a show is that you might be able to pick up some prints. Small fees might be charged, and you can make somebody feel good about their work. So, lots of good reasons to go out and see your local degree show, diploma show, exhibition of work. Don't just go to Photo London or Photo Paris and see what you've seen before. Get out there and find something different. To end this week, just a reminder that it would be great if you could subscribe to this podcast or subscribe to UnitedNationsOfPhotography.com because that helps us. Also, put a like if you've enjoyed what you've heard. Of course, if you subscribe, you'll also get us dropping into your inbox every week. This podcast does come out every week, and I think that's important because we're in a time of constant change. Speaking of which, I'm planning a few changes for the podcast itself. So as they say, stay tuned and take care.